Money.
I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 1 to 11. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Now let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Now let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Now complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages had come. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Morning, church.
Morning.
We thank God for His grace this morning, and for us to be in His presence to pray and worship in His holy name. This morning, we are going to admonish ourselves with a sermon, a high cost of complaining. We just had a text read, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 to 11. And of course, I believe that almost everyone here this morning in the assembly, we saw the new text to us. We've been studying it and going through it. But this morning, we're really going to see more of this text and aligning them with our daily realities and looking at the high cost of complaining. Before I start, I want us to just go through just these three texts and if possible, for us to be accustomed to this and try to build them into our daily routines, to continue to remind ourselves about the dangers of complaining. I will call it more like epidemic because it's like a daily routine, you know, in our daily lives, and sometimes it becomes so engraved into habits that we see it like a norm. But just like I did you this morning, in as much as it tends to be like a norm, how well is it in the sight of God? The first reading there is the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verse 1. Even though we might not really read through the entire chapter 11, but the key thing here for us to really get taken from the example of 1 Corinthians 10 that we just read. Here we have the people that God chose and called out from slavery after so many years of slavery. And God called them out. They all saw the hand of God. God took them through. They all saw the 10 plagues that happened in Egypt. But of course, the land of Goshen was spared from this place. They all saw how God led them through the Red Sea. They all saw how God destroyed the great Egyptian army. They all saw the hand of God, and it was a great miracle. They were all wowed by it, that even when they crossed to the other side of the Red Sea, they all sang, giving praises unto God. But shortly after that, what happened? They were faced with what we call realities of life, and they went into complaining. They became a people that were persistent in complaining. And at the point in time, in verse 1, and when people complained, he displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost part of the camp. But what happened thereafter? When this happened, they all came down, humbled themselves, and of course, shortly after that, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell, lost him. Verse 5. And we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. And now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. We all knew how the issue of the manna came about. This was more like a free food. In fact, the Bible even called it like angel's food given to them. Perfect meal for God. Balanced diet, balanced meal. And these were a people sojourning to the promised land from slavery. But what happened? They got to a point, they remembered the food they ate while in captivity. And this, of course, as we read, God was highly displeased with them. Because to them, they were complaining against Moses. They're complaining, and the complaining got so serious that at a point in time, Moses told God that, oh, please, these people are so much in my neck, I just cannot stand. What have I even done to you, O Lord, for you to choose me to lead these people? Because they were still necked people. And of course, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 11, these things were written for us as an example, because they were a sanctified people of God. Passing through the Red Sea, they ate and they drank the same one meal just as we had, more like the type and the antitype that we are having today. However, many of them were cast away. And in Philippians 2:14, the scripture also has something very strong to tell us before we go into the body of our sermon. And I want that passage quickly read, Philippians 2, verse 14. Very popular reading. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. Of course, the word complaining can be used synonymously with murmuring, grumbling. They all come under the same synonym. Now, when we go into complaining, essentially, like I said, it's a daily routine in our lives. Most times we complain about our jobs, complain about the traffic, the people, the system, inconveniences. But guess what? Sometimes we still complain about blessings that God has blessed us with. The blessings that God has blessed us with, we still complain. What do we mean? I mean, we are healthy, breathing, okay. For example, somebody who is single, praying for God, like we took the marriage class this morning. God, please help me, I want to get married, you get married. After a while, you complain about your partner. Oh, what a kind of person I have. You pray, God, please, I need children. God gives you children. You complain about your children. Kids who have parents say, oh, God, complain about their parents, complain about everything. Just having one complain or the other. even with God's blessings in our lives, we still complain. But one thing that we need to understand deep within us is that when you complain, it's a lack of trust. And again, like we said, it's sometimes like a sense of entitlement. I want to say one thing here. Talking about the sense of entitlement. Whatsoever thing that you have is a privilege. If you're enjoying good health, it's a privilege. If you're walking complete, it's a privilege. Because when you come to know that some of those who don't have the kind of opportunity that you have in terms of good health, it's not because they deserve it. And so most times, we undermine the blessings of God, and then you sometimes you feel that what you need is more like an entitlement for you to have it. And so when you lack it, or when you don't have it, you tend to murmur, to grumble, to complain. Just like when God questioned Job. When I created all of this, where were you? You asked me to do it. And so, until we come to see everything and anything that we have as a privilege, you will understand the danger and the high cost of complaining. And the last thing is also the forgetfulness of God's blessings and God's goodness in our lives. What is for the high cost of complaining? It's an epidemic, if I should say. The entire world is filled with complaints. We all complain. I listened to someone speaking some years back. And he actually said, why should we complain? And in the course of his speech, he said something, that whatsoever thing that you cannot control, do not complain. But if you have control over it, then change it. If you cannot change it, then just live with it. You know, in the course of his speech, he was just trying to talk about why it is actually wrong to complain. Because more often than not, a lot of things around us tends to be like a source of complaining. And so complaining is often a symptom of heart problem. What do I mean? Not essentially like heart issue. For example, we'll be using our case study with the children of Israel. They complained about being hungry in the wilderness. But in the actual cause, in the actual sense, was it actually the hunger that they complained about? No. But the complaint actually is a reflection of a lack of trust in God. But say it this way, when they complained against Moses, they felt that they complained against Moses. And when Moses in turn cried out unto God, God said, look, they have not rejected you. They are not complaining against you, but against me. And this is where we all need to be very careful sometimes how we complain, who we complain against, or what we complain against. The same thing also to Samuel. When the children of Israel walked up to Samuel and they say, oh, please, just like other nations around us, we need a king. Samuel felt rejected and he went to God. But God told him, you're not the one he rejected, but me. But you know, why we have to be very careful about thinking that what we're doing is justified is when we come to understand the consequences of what these people faced because of this same thing that we're talking about. And so you tend to know why it is a high cost. And so, complaining reveals that we think we deserve better, we believe that God hasn't done enough, and then focus on the wrong instead of what is right. Yeah. And essentially, A complaining tongue is always ungrateful to God. As we're going to be seeing much later, there's a strong discrepancy between gratitude and complaining. Secondly, complaining blinds us to God's blessings. It shields God's blessings. I think it's one of the tools of Satan to make one not to realize the amount of blessings that God has given. Take for example, someone wakes up in the morning, you're going to work, and then you're complaining. Perhaps at the close of the month, you've been paid. Particularly where we find ourselves in this part of the world, you're complaining about the tax. Oh my, look at that! With all what I've done, look at the tax you're taking off from me. Did you see that too? So for every single thing, we have what to complain about. But in essence, it blinds us from God's blessings. Take for example, the Israelites had manna from heaven, water from rock. They saw God, really, literally, because when they told Moses, we want to hear God speak to us. And God told Moses, he said, okay, fine. Let them do this, do this, do this, and do that. And when the time came, God has not descended. They said, oh, Moses, please, we cannot stand the presence of the Lord. You go up the mountain. Whatever God tells you, come and tell us, and we will listen to you, God, of course. So they saw all the miracles. But yet, what happened? Of course, we all knew the consequences. Out of 600,000 men, from 20 and above, count 600,000. Now, just men, we could just kind of estimate that perhaps about close to 2 million, because a man with a wife or two wives and kids, right? So you could just project. But we're talking about only fighting men, 600,000. How many got to the promised land? Just two. Just two. Why? 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 11. We just understand why. So in all of this, yet they complain that what? We had it better in Egypt. I want us to look at it this way. Why it is very dangerous for us to complain of anything at all, because in all that we do, in the course of our complaining, it's actually murmuring against God. Now, take for example, you as an individual, you have sacrificed what you feel that is most treasured to you for someone. Just think of it as an individual. Think of what is most precious to you. And you let it go. And then such a person, or an individual, or a people that you made a sacrifice for, turn against you and made you feel like you've done absolutely nothing. How would you feel? And like what the book of First Romans chapter 8 has made us to understand, that God has given us all, in fact, the best. It was a sacrifice that God gave to us through His Son Jesus Christ. What else, what more, again, that God cannot do? But in all of this, and so, complaining blinds us to God's blessing. When you complain, you don't see the blessing of God, just like the children of Israel, who were blinded to God's blessings because they felt that they could have gotten it better in Egypt. Very and most dangerously is that it spreads faster than faith. One person's negativity, you know, can rub off. Let's go back again to the children of Israel. Moses appointed 12 spies. Go spy the land. They got to the land, spied the land, came back. 10, just 10 men, just 10 men in the entire camp of Israel gave the wrong report. But again, you ask yourself, was it a wrong report, really? You know, my brother and I, in power, we keep, sometimes we talk about tiny things, and there was a time we were talking about the state of reality, and in the course of our discussion, we both came to conclude in our argument that reality is subjective. It depends on how you see it. So there's no reality out there. It just depends on how you see it. Okay? I might have a bottle of water, half. Some might see it half filled, some is seeing it half empty. It depends on no reality. Now, going out to spy, because of their lack of faith in God, these same people that brought giant grapes, the scripture said that the grapes were so big, so massive, that it took two men to carry it on their shoulder. He said, yes, the land actually is flowing with milk and honey, but the people that we saw, we can't stand against them. They are giants, and in our own eyes, we are as grasshoppers before them. We can't go to that place, Moses, please let us turn back. Now, there were the other two silent voices that were bringing up, yes, even though, but God will give up no way and spread out all fast. That is what negativity can do. It's just more of a human nature thing. It tends to spread faster than a thing of faith. So, in a family, in a workplace, even in the church, you tend to see the atmosphere that complaining can do. And lastly, complaining stops one from progressing. Two things. Stop one from progressing, or can even just take you back to where you're coming from. Now, the Israelites didn't just complain in the wilderness. They are complaining made them to stay in the wilderness. And most times, sometimes when I tend to think about it, I just keep praying God. Because you know why? Many people today are stuck, not because God has forgotten them, but because they refuse to trust God, and they live and they stay in conflict. We all knew what happened when they all cried out to Moses, you have brought us out of the land of Egypt to come and kill us and our children here. Now what did God tell them? That was when God told them that for this, you will not see that promised land. And eventually, a journey of 40 days became how long? 40 years. Their destiny was delayed. To some, that was the end of the goal. And so they all perished. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 11. They all perished until the last of them passed away. But unfortunately, even Moses himself, who was infected by the complaint. And that is where sometimes I look at the bodies that go with leadership. Moses himself, you know, sometimes when I look at Moses, the Bible says that there was no one as meek as him. But imagine someone who was so meek, but yet he lost it because of this. And then eventually, he lost to be in the promised land. And so quickly, what are the antidotes to complaining? The first thing here is to always express gratitude for every single thing. For every single thing. Philippians 4:6 tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, with what? With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And so when the Bible tells us to understand that we should give thanks always, for that is the will of God in our lives. So it means that what God wants from you is consistent gratitude. I've taken my time to read through, look at various. One thing that goes straight and cuts across all phases of life is gratitude. And so gratitude shifts our focus from what we don't have to what God has already given. And how often sometimes in the day do you take time to breathe in, inhale, and exhale and feel that you are alive? How often in a day do you actually feel yourself that you have all your senses intact? I have a colleague in, you know, my institution, and she was telling me where she was, and it's this very young lady of about 21, and she's just reading. She has to be taken around in a wheelchair, and her system, somehow she needs aids to be able to pass out waste from her system. And so that waste, that pack has to be changed consistently, like every 3 hours or 4 hours or so. And so that's what she does, you know, to more like. And when she was talking, I was like, wow, the lady of 21, and passing through that. But thank God, none of us here is in that state. Is that not enough for us to be grateful unto God? And so, gratitude shifts our focus from what's uncertain to who is in control. Worship gives our perspective. Gratitude softens the heart, and faith silence confidence. Christ, our perfect example. When the scripture made us to understand, you know, sometimes the death of Christ on the cross, after all passed through, is an evidence that as mortals, as humans, that we can actually live a holy life and a perfect life. And that is the essence of him coming to actually test how it is to be in this form. Christ on earth, he was fatigued, he was betrayed, he was misunderstood, he was rejected, there were a lot of injustice against him. And finally, he carried the cross up the hill. But in all of it, he still said, Father, forgive me. But you know the ultimate of it all, while he was right there on the cross, the scripture said by the third hour of the day, that's about 9 a.m., the entire surface of the earth was dark. Then he knew that he was all alone. And he cried out, he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because at that point, he was carrying the sin of the whole world, and God cannot behold sin. But even in that, he never complained. And so, when we walk with Christ, it changes our posture. It gives us peace that complaining can never produce. And lastly, as a form of conclusion, let's give ourselves a simple challenge. I know sometimes when we set our minds to do certain things, situations will come that will make you not to do it. What if this week you are committed to just one goal, and that one goal is to say for the whole of this week, I'm going to complain, or rather, to dwell in gratitude and in prayer. Brethren, like I said earlier, complaining has been part of the human nature. We have come to see from the scriptures that God destroyed a people because they complained. And when you complain, irrespective of what you complain against, it's not against anyone, but against God. Because for everything that we have, and for all that we are, God has given us his blessings, and expects us, as recipients of his blessings, to live in gratitude. Gratitude opens up more doors, and it brings Christ closer to us. And when that happens, for whatsoever uncertainty that lies ahead, he is always faithful to drive them off. So rather than complaining, seek his face in prayer with gratitude and with thanksgiving, because that is the only way that I want you to find God's favor. So in this, we pray that God will help us, because at the end, we'll have no reason. I know a preacher will always say something most times, back in Nigeria. He says, and each time I hear him say that, I just get scared about this Christian race. He said, most Christians, I'm quoting him, most Christians do not miss heaven because of fornication or adultery or murder. But most Christians will miss heaven because they fail to keep a simple task that God has commanded them to do. Part of it is what we're talking about in this sermon. Complaining. We pray God to really help us, to empower us, and to give us the grace that we, as Christians, we live more in gratitude and in praises than complaining. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.